Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha, may Allah be pleased with her, there's a hadith narrated from her, and she stated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stated that do not consider any good deed as a minor deed, and do not consider a sin as a minor sin. Because even the so-called smallest of good deeds is a great deed, and never consider it as a minor. And a sin, whether it looks to be a small thing, a minor thing, but don't consider it as a minor or insignificant, because it is very dangerous indeed. So outwardly, these are just a few words of a hadith, but they are very, very important. It's a great hadith. It's a hadith of great magnitude. And if we look in reality at the reason for not following the deen, the reason for not practicing the deen, the reason for leaving the deen, the reason for being far from the deen, the reason for rejecting the orders of Allah, the biggest reason of all is this, is that a person doesn't do amal on this hadith. He doesn't practice on this hadith. Why? Because when an individual considers a good deed as minor, as a small thing, then shaitan is the root cause of both of these. For example, a good deed is a great thing indeed, magnificent. In the Quran it's stated, even an atom's weight of a good deed is a great deed indeed. And the human being is influenced by shaitan, because shaitan, he reduces the magnitude of that good deed. So the person who's doing the good deed, who wants to do the deed, shaitan makes him reject that deed or leave that deed. Rather, there's no importance of that deed in that person's heart. Not just importance, rather to this extent that the person doesn't appreciate that he's doing good. Whenever an individual runs away from good, leaves the deen, starts to dislike the deen or hate the elements of the deen, there'll be one reason for this. That if you look at a foundation brick, a brick in the foundations, it will affect the whole building, doesn't it? The brick in the foundation layers, if it's misplaced or not correctly built. So one good deed, to consider it as a minor and insignificant, because this is the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's statement behind this. It's not a minor thing, it's a big warning. And shaitan, his big, you can say, technique nowadays is that he instills into our minds the factor that we reduce the importance of good deeds and then we neglect the good deeds. Then for a person, just like, you know, there's a leakage, the water's coming through the leakage. When shaitan sees the crack, might see a big building which is solid, robust, and we can't see that there'll be any leak of water. But when there's a crack and the water starts to seep through, within a few hours or days, the whole room will be full of water. Shaitan plays on that crack. This is the work of shaitan. When he sees a weakness, when he sees that there is a hole in that person's thinking, because we don't think about hadith, we don't do amal on the hadith, or ulama ikram tell us about the hadith, the walis of Allah tell us the hadith. At that time, there are two types of people who listen. One are those who appreciate, take them seriously, who feel that these things, alhamdulillah, they become successful. But those people in whose hearts there's no importance of that hadith, no importance of the practice, that amal, then the amal will not come in a person's life, even if he sits 10,000 years. But in his heart and mind, he doesn't have the importance of that deed. This is the hadith that's telling us this. As a Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Delwi, rahmatullahi in Kitab Fatwa Al-Aziziya, has given a fatwa, a verdict, something to hear about, the meaning of the hadith. That when an individual, whenever an individual considers a mustahab, a preferable deed as a minor, not important, rejects it, then what happens? That person discards that mustahab. As a result of discarding the mustahab and looking down at the mustahab, then he starts to cease practicing sunnah actions. Yeah, so he goes to the next level. And when an individual considers sunnah actions as minor, as not significant, and there's no appreciation of the sunnah action, then what will be the effect? Then the wajibat, the compulsory deeds, he'll start to leave the compulsory deeds. And this is how the building is erected. And then when he starts to discard the wajibat and the compulsory deeds and they end, then the conclusion is then he is free from the faraid. from the compulsories, and then the next stage is very dangerous. May Allah Ta'ala forgive. And a person starts to joke with the deen or play with the deen. It doesn't happen suddenly. Remember this. This disease is such that at any time when it comes over a person, at any time when shaitan instills a waswasa, a whisper into our ears and minds, oh, this is not important, there's no benefit of this, it's just sunnah, isn't it? It's just mustahab, it's not necessary. But whose hukum is behind this? If we have an opportunity to practice a good deed, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, Allah's given us the tawfiq, and we get a chance to practice a good deed. Don't leave that opportunity. Why are we leaving the opportunity? You're praying salah regularly, in a good way, you pray fard, and then we leave the sunnah and run away. We leave the sunnah and run away. We're in the masjid. We have wudu. Allah's given us energy. And we leave the sunnah. Because we don't appreciate. We don't have the appreciation of the importance of that salah. The punishment for this. Allah, the punishment the person gets for not praying complete salah. So this is a big marad. A big disease. We need to focus on this. We need to put importance on this. I remember a couplet that you don't see the effect of dhikr. We don't see the effect of dhikr because we don't see the amal on the sunnah. Allah. So this is the effect of dhikr. The reason is this, is that if we don't have the importance of the sunnah practice, these are the effects of dhikr. When a person does dhikr, then the first thing that comes into his heart and mind is that he starts to appreciate the good things. He starts to appreciate the good things. We see that, oh, he's Naqshbandi Silsila. We know and it is known that it's a great path, and that the Naqshbandi students on the Naqshbandi path, Silsila, they do amal on the sunnah. The reason for this is that the Naqshbandi Silsila, the dhikr, it overwhelms the Naqshbandi dhikr. Yes? Because dhikr is ghalib over the Naqshbandi dhikr. The meaning of ghalib means not that you do this many tasbih, 15 tasbih, in the morning, do 200 tasbih, in the evening, do this many 100 tasbih, in the afternoon, do this many tasbih. This is not the way. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ لَهَا قِيَامُ وَقُعُودًا. In the Naqshbandi tariqah, this is not the dhikr of counting. That always stay in the remembrance of Allah. Always stay in the remembrance of Allah. This is the importance. Yes? So a person who considers himself a dhakir, the reason for this is this, that the effect of dhikr hasn't taken place. They cannot see the effect of dhikr taking place. Why? Because there's no amal on the sunnah. Yes? And if we are not coming away from negligence, discarding good practice, discarding laziness, then that we don't understand the meaning of bayah, of being attached to a wali Allah. When a student goes to a sheikh, a wali Allah, what's the reason for that student to go? Look, why do we do dhikr? For this reason, so that we learn how to practice the deen, so we start practicing mustahab, we start to appreciate sunnah. Alhamdulillah, we have love for the imam, love for the beard, and we have love and qadr for every action of the Holy Prophet. And your heart starts to feel that. And this will not come from lectures. This will not come from speeches. Yes? Because a person from speeches and lectures, he'll become arrogant. Oh, this is mustahab, wajib, this is sunnah muqaddah. It's not necessary. So his heart will not desire. So we'll have to put the first brick on the layers that never consider any good deed as a minor deed. Because a good deed is a magnificent deed. Look at the virtues. Look at the qualities. And the biggest quality of a good deed is that there's a hukum of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam behind it. They don't consider this action as small. Because Allah Ta'ala doesn't give this tawfiq to anyone. If you get the tawfiq to practice so-called small deeds, then appreciate this, because this is Allah's massive fadl and karam on you. And this is what we need to understand. We want that, oh, we start from the top praying tahajjud and I'm an abid. No, the Naqshbandi tariqah teaches us no praise of doing extra nafil, but praise due to doing practice on every sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When this desire, when this thought process comes into our minds, then we can say that our dhikr, our hazrat, my hazrat, my sheikh said, and he said, listen to this clearly, that if you are not practicing sunnah, you're not practicing mustahab, then consider your dhikr is a waste. There's no benefit of your dhikr, then your medicine is going to waste. This doesn't mean leave dhikr. Then this means do more hard work and effort on your dhikr. Yeah? If you're sat in the car and you're seeing that in 10 minutes I need to reach to destination B from A, and 10 minutes about to pass and my destination looks far away, then what will we do? We'll start to increase the speed. We'll make the car fast, drive faster. Yes? Maybe you'll cross the red light. Because Jamaat is about to pass, I'm going to miss the Salah. There's 3 minutes left to join the Salah. Then you'll start to get fever pitch. Sweat will come on your brow. And then you'll break the red lights. You won't look at the 3 points. You won't look at the ticket and the fine. Maybe Allah Ta'ala will help and take us through here and get us to the destination. Is it this the case? So this is the situation. In the same way, alhamdulillah, when a person starts to do dhikr, then this is the position that comes about in his life, in his thinking, in his practice, that he starts to love all good deeds. He doesn't feel like leaving good deeds. He said, I'll do a little bit more. Okay, what difference does it make? I'll pray two nafil more. Yes, because if a person doesn't have this love, so how does this come about? Through dhikr. If this not come into our hearts and minds, then don't consider that we are dhakireen. We cannot consider ourselves a dhakir if we don't see the asr, the effect, the asr of dhikr, because we're not practicing the sunnah. And if we don't leave ghaflat, negligence, laziness and ignorance, if we don't leave ignorance and laziness, then we haven't understood the meaning of bayah. Now I've gone to a sheikh, wali Allah, for what reason? I want to leave dunya, I want to increase the love of the hereafter, dunya has overwhelmed me, I leave the so-called small deeds, and tahajjud time comes, I start to feel sleepy, this is such a big ibadah, and I see this, that, oh, I've said that it's not fard, it's not compulsory, there's a lot of thawab, why don't I practice this? Because a person, he has the desire inside, oh, okay, I'll go to a wali Allah. What's the reason we don't feel this? Because if we get rid of laziness and negligence, if we'll sit in front of the wali Allah, he'll give us the cure, the laziness will go far away. Alhamdulillah, when a person goes to wali Allah with the right niyyah, then he starts to pray tahajjud. Yes, that thing that seems to him as a mission, sunnah, wajib, mustahib, it becomes for him an easy way of life, and he with ease starts to practice, and he doesn't know that he's struggling. No, so he doesn't waste time. So if we have bayah with the sheikh, we have a connection with the teacher, and if my laziness is not going, negligence is not going, and I'm not increasing my status, I don't love ishraq and chasht, and my dhikr, mamulat, and Quran recitation, I don't dislike lying, because this is negligence, isn't it? Lying and deceiving, then we haven't understood the meaning of being a student of a sheikh. We're wasting our time. Yes, and the next couplet is very good indeed. Very beneficial. That what has happened to the khankas ultimately? What has ultimately happened in the khankas? Yes, that we cannot see the fountain of goodness. Those khankas where people would go, there were aqabireen, our pious elders. And what did we see? We saw the color of taqwa, fear of Allah. And here today in the khankas today, just games, and we have palau rice, and food and drink and feasts and conferences and gatherings, and this person's coming, that person's coming, guests. Even now in the khankas, not one, there are various sheikhs khankas that I've seen. And the khanka that I went to, alhamdulillah, apart from dhikr, I saw no other action. No, that there was no roti, no food, do you remember there? No water, no halwa, no pilau rice, no fragrance of food. My life that I spent in the khanka, alhamdulillah, because I saw the color of the khankas. But now when we go, we see big names, and we see deputies and students, but we don't see the fountain of what is up to the khankas today. We cannot see the effect of the goodness of the taqwa coming out from the khankas. So brothers, this is a ajeeb point. Ajeeb learning. Uloom, we have studied so many times over. And next couplet. Uloom has been studied so many times over. So much uloom and ilm and knowledge has been attained. But we don't see the desperation or the taste or the desire to practice. Oh, I've studied this, I've studied this, I've studied that. But have you learned how to leave the sins? Have you got the khawf of Allah in your hearts? We don't see this. Tell me. So what kind of life is this? What kind of life is this? So all of this, that everything which is behind the meaning of khanka has an objective. Yes, if a person steps into a khanka, the objective is that he should attain taqwa, tazkiyah. Go to the khanka, you start to remember Allah, and you start to desire staying hungry and thirsty. Oh, but you shouldn't look at the crease of my clothes is breaking, my clothes are a bit dirty, my mama's get dirty. Wallahi, I'd see in the khanka that people's clothes, they were very dirty. And you could smell the sweat from their clothes, but nobody disliked somebody else. And the imamas were dirty. Yes, because they didn't have time that he could go and wash or iron them or put some color on them. I remember a statement of Hazrat Sahib. He said a beautiful statement, Mawlana Ajeeb. He said, we used to go to my sheikh, Hazrat Ali Murtaza. My sheikh said, I used to go to my sheikh service, Hazrat Fazal Ugrish. And I've told you about this various times. And when he would go there, there were great sheikhs and muftiyan and ulayma. But there, the style there, we would see is that we could never see, Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh said that never would we see amongst the gathering of my class fellows, people with clean, shining clothes, they've got nice kurta and a nice imama, clean. He said, by chance one day, Hazrat Sahib said, Ramadan, that by chance once some new clothes of mine had been sewn, a new kurta, and Hazrat Sahib said that I sat with that kurta and I went to Hazrat Sahib's majlis and sat. Hazrat Sahib told me this himself. He said, when I went to the majlis, then when my Sheikh saw me, Hazrat Fazalul Quraysh, the whole gathering, and Hazrat Sahib saw me and didn't say anything. And after seeing me, after a while, Hazrat Sahib said that today we won't sit here, today we'll go to another place and sit and do the majlis. So everybody got up and went, and Hazrat Sahib went to a dirty, dusty, you could say muddy type of location, and Hazrat Sahib said, Ali, sit here. And Hazrat Sahib said, I sat down in the dust and the mud, and all the mud and the dust came onto my clothes, and Hazrat Sahib did maragba for 1 hour, and in maragba Hazrat Sahib did tawajjuh. Do you understand how to get to the Sheikh, arrive to the Sheikh? In other words, so much tawajjuh focus, Hazrat Sahib did want the distraction to come away from Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. And they could look at the great style and methodology of our pious predecessors. Do we see this in the khankas today? Many khankas today, but we don't see that humble effect today. This person is the Sheikh, and he is the student, and he is the son of the Sheikh. I don't know where he's reached. Has he reached to London or Birmingham or to feasts and food invitations? I don't know where people have reached today, but these were those fakirs, our pious elders who sat on the earth, but they were at the highest level of maqam. Great levels. They used to wander around in the world, but their maqam was very great indeed. May Allah Ta'ala make us all like this. Naqshbandi silsila, my friends, is a silent silsila, simple silsila. There's no glow, shining, showing off pomp and glory and clamour and shouting and drawing attraction and wanting fame and attention and recognition. No, a person is fikr, always worried, concerned, cautious. If we don't have this feeling, then consider we don't have success. We need more hard work, more hard work. That we look at the ashars as if there are many couplets to be understood, as if these couplets are there to be understood, and many of them are there to be understood, but there is nobody who we can see that is understanding these. There are many words, but who is going to understand these? There's nobody we can see who will understand these words and the meaning. That's it. We just say, oh yeah, we've heard that, we get up and go. What's in this? So my brothers, this hadith that I discussed in the beginning is a great hadith, that never consider a good deed as a minor, because where will it take us? Far from implementing good deeds. Allah's Nabi said, it's a big warning. If you don't understand this, what's this dhikr? Oh, leave this dhikr. It's not necessary. It's not fard, is it? It's not important. Let's leave it. End of story. But here we should think, Allah Ta'ala has given me dhikr, He's taught me, this is a great, great action. Many hadith about dhikr, I've got 10 minutes, okay, let me be ungrateful, let me sit down for 2 minutes at least, that's it, job done. Success attained, alhamdulillah, because Allah Ta'ala has given me the ni'mah, shown it to me. Just like, for example, you have a nice shining glass, and nowadays it's hot, and you have drinks and squash and cordials, or you have yogurt lassi drink with sweet inside, and you're thirsty, but it's time for salah. What will you do? What will you say to yourself? Oh, just let me quickly drink one sip while I leave. And then if you don't drink the whole glass, you'll at least drink a few sips. At least let me taste it. This happens, isn't it? So you appreciate that drink. So when you have appreciation for dhikr, that I haven't got time, I've got 10 minutes, I need to get somewhere, and I promised that person I'll meet him. But Allah Ta'ala has given me the majlis of dhikr, and I've seen this with my eyes, these people are sat down doing dhikr. This is a great, magnificent gathering. And the person who joins this gathering will never be unsuccessful. Never. These are the words of hadith. That the person who sits in the gathering of dhikr, he can never be at loss, Allah Ta'ala says. The question doesn't arise that he will be at loss. He never leaves without the rewards from this majlis. So he stated, such a big majlis, Allah shown to me. Okay, if I only sit for 3 minutes, he hasn't even come in. And, mashallah, the success and the reward starts. So remember this always, that when the door of goodness opens, never consider it minor. Who's showing this to be minor to us? Shaitan. Consider this building of mine that's being constructed in the akhirah. That this building of reward, this is the first brick of reward, good deed. So today I will place down this brick on the wall for my good deeds, and through this may Allah Ta'ala will forgive me. Yes? So if somebody's walking on the way and someone says, have you got the way? Can you tell me the way? And for example, you don't look towards him, you haven't heard him. Aha. But even if you don't know the way, even then you turn back, go back to him, say, assalamu alaikum, what is it? What's the matter? What do you need? Maybe I don't know the way, but at least let me go and... yes, Haji Sahib, what is it? He said that, do you know this street? And then I'll start to think. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Why? because I want to earn a good deed. Then let me try and help. Then I'll try. Which street is he talking about? I don't even know. I don't understand. I say, forgive me, my friend. I tried to think about it. I tried to help, but forgive me. I tried, but I can't realize what you're saying. I say, no problem. I'll ask somebody else. So you've earned a good deed, haven't you? Even though you can give him the solution. But you say, oh, no, leave it. I don't know. I can help him. Look at the difference here. So this is the dunya wherein Allah Ta'ala has put so many good deeds in the dunya. Allah says, don't consider it as a minor thing. If you consider it minor, then the next thing that will happen is, if you don't consider a good deed as minor, the next step will be that salah is happening, jamaat is in front of you. But when you consider it as a minor, you say, no, I need to open the shop. I'll show you hundreds of thousands of people who prefer to stand in their shop. In front of them is the masjid that they won't come to pray salah. Do you see this or not, people? People, do you see people like this or not? Are they like this in the world, people? Yes, taxi will drive past them. Yes, and they'll drive past the customer. They'll pick the customer 5-10 minutes before they know the masjid is about to come, jamaat is stood, but they will not go to pray salah in jamaat. The reason for this is the punishment, because he considered a good deed as a minor. He didn't appreciate it, and this multiplied. And today he's got to that stage. There's such a great action, fard salah in jamaat. Allah says, even if you leave the whole dunya, but don't leave the fard salah in jamaat. Don't leave the salah of Allah in the masjid. But we run after taqa, dunya, after a shop, after a customer. When a person sees this, yes, a person who's awake, who's alert, Allahu Akbar, who's awake and alert inside him, the nur of Allah has come in. Then when he sees this scene, he starts to shake. The adhan is taking place here. The dhikr of Allah is happening and he's leaving the dhikr of Allah. That person starts to shake when he sees the other people leaving the fard. Allah has put into that person the quality, the nur. How can this person leave salah? That he's passing by, adhan is being called, he's not going to salah. That in our countries, this happens, my brothers, the adhan is taking place, and the radio, the music and the singing, the volume in the shop increases. They don't bother. They increase the volume of the singing and the music and the drama on the radio. They sat in the shops and the restaurants and the cigarettes being sold. So, you know, I don't know why Allah Ta'ala sent adab on the Muslims. I don't know why Muslims are being persecuted today. Why are we collecting chanda and charity? Is there anyone greater than Allah who gives the rizq, my friends? Will our charity? We need to do istighfar. Charity won't help us. We need to do tawbah. Repentance, chanda won't help us. We cannot save anybody, we cannot give rizq to anybody, we cannot do anything. That this is the signing, the warning, admonishment. They are human beings like us, and we are human beings. We need to take all of the root cause that we've displeased Allah, we've left the good deeds, we consider good deeds as minor, we don't appreciate good deeds, the deeds that will take us to Jannah, to paradise. Am I right, am I wrong, my brothers? So this hadith, tie a knot on it, seal it in our hearts. Don't consider a good deed as a minor. Whoever does this, he is trapped by shaitan's net. We're sat down, we don't come to dhikr, we don't come to salah, we're not happy, and all of the other actions of the dunya we do. But when we don't, oh, I don't feel good, I was sneezing, I had a bit of pain, I thought I'll pray at salah at home today, or I won't go to the majlis today. Look at the excuses. Oh, just today I had some issues. That Allah Ta'ala has given excuses, shari excuses, that if you have these excuses valid and you leave them, then there's ijazah in the sharia. If this is a valid excuse, Allah has given us a list that if this is an issue, this is an issue, then you can leave those practices. But brothers, if we don't have the excuse valid and we've got a desire, look, Anwar Sahib is sitting in front of you, and is he awake? Is he well? 100% tell me, a person like this who sits in dhikr, that dhikr is not farad on not wajib, nothing. For him, even salah, he can pray salah tongue. Can he not pray a tongue? Isn't it an excuse? Who brings him? Which power and force brings him and seats him down here? Tell me. That compared to him, thousands of healthy people who live on the banks of these masjids, who know and are nearby. But here in his young time, I remember from young life, I give you an example always, he is the Baba of Dhikr of our majlis, the grandfather of Dhikr of our majlis. I give the example, we need to learn a lesson from him. The reason for this, that I saw this individual when he started to come to Dhikr, where dhikr would take place day, night, tahajjud, any time, he would never miss the majlis of dhikr. I never saw that. He used to work, he had shops, business, he had dunya to live. I never saw him miss dhikr. We used to be in Manchester and he used to live here. And he would arrive to dhikr. He would sit in the dhikr majlis. And today he is eating the fruits of his work. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala gives the rewards. That what we do today, after 50 years, we'll see the results. Hadith haqqa. Allah's words are haqq. Rasulullah's words are haqq, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today, this is the effect of his dhikr. Allah has given him the power, the energy, that not one majlis of dhikr does he leave. Alhamdulillah, he gets the thawab, he takes the whole thawab, and he's making Jannah, paradise, for himself. and that he never considered a deed as minor. May Allah give more health. That yes, life ups and downs, ill health continues. But compared to him, we have sneeze. Oh, no, I'm sneezing. It's difficult going today. No, to the last final moment, try your best. Don't reject a good deed. And we put the imam on, then we leave the imam. Tell me, Allah Rabbul Alameen has given you the permission to wear imam on your head. Are you foolish? Are you stupid that you're taking the imam off yourself? You're leaving the good deed yourself. Why? Because you don't appreciate that good deed. We don't appreciate that good deed. That this imam, what a great deed it is. Tell me that the people who are the greatest of personalities, so called, they don't have this imam in their destiny. They don't have imam in their destiny. You know, the people in the world say, oh, he's a great man. They have a topi on their head, subhanAllah. But Allah Ta'ala's beloved servants, subhanAllah, who consider Allah, who are beloved of Allah, then they look at the sunnah of the mahbub of Allah, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the sign. This is their sign. Allah Ta'ala selects His beloved servants because Allah Ta'ala allows His beloved servants to practice the sunnah of His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah says, you practice this and I'll be pleased with you as well. So when you wear the imamah, then I'll become pleased with you. And subhanAllah, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to amal on His sunnah, what is that benefit? Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala starts to praise that individual that he's wearing an imamah. If he commits a sin, Allah Ta'ala wipes that sin away, turns his away from that sin, that and allows him to practice the sunnah as well, because Allah Ta'ala doesn't want the sunnah to disobey, even if he's a liar and in darkness he's sinning. But Allah Ta'ala elevates his respect because he's wearing the labas of the sunnah of Allah's Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So brothers, never do this, that if Allah Ta'ala has given you elevation and status, then we need to get higher than that tomorrow. What's this? By getting higher, then we come back down. We say to people, oh, he's wearing imamah yesterday and he's taking it off today. No, alhamdulillah. Today in our hearts we have love, then start from here. Place the brick in the foundation. Okay, I haven't got strength, but inshallah from today I promise. Whatever salah I pray, I will pray salah with imamah. That's it. So you step forward towards Allah. I won't leave a good deed. Why? Because one salah with imamah, I'll get 70 times more reward. Look, but is this a minor sunnah? Okay, I haven't got that. Okay, I'll wear the imamah here. And whenever I'll keep the imamah in my car. I can't wear it outside. I haven't got the strength. But at least when I pray salah, I'll put the imamah on my head and I'll please Allah. And what will I lose? Will I lose when the imamah comes on your head? Alhamdulillah. Then pray salah with your imamah. Yes, Allah Ta'ala inshallah will give you total energy and ability to practice on. And remember, yesterday I told you this, that successful people are those in the dunya and the akhirah, in Jannah, in paradise. In every phase of life, success hinges on one factor, the amal of the sunnah, imitation of the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. مَنْ رَغَبَ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِي. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated, مَنْ رَغَبِي أَنْ سُنَّتِي. I have no link with this person. I have no link. I do not recognize this person. Who is this person? What ashik is this person? What conferences and marches? I have no link with this person. I have link with that individual. Allah says, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that in his life he did amal on my sunnah practices. He never considered a sunnah action as a minor, insignificant, as long as he was aware and conscious and he did amal on the sunnah, and he himself did amal and he told others to do amal on the sunnah. Will we all try? May Allah give us all the ability to attempt and try. Recite Durud Sharif.